What up, Canes fans? Before we get started, just wanted to talk to you guys about the Tank Brewery real quick. The Tank is located in the heart of Miami in Dade County at 5100 Northwest 72nd Avenue. This place is awesome. I've been there. The beer is outstanding. The food is great. Whether you're watching the Canes game, the Heat game there with your buddies, you're having a guys' night out, or you're having a date night with the missus, it's a great place to hang out. So you can order online at thetankbrewingtakeout.com or call them at 786-801-1554 for delivery or pickup. And here's the thing. If you use the promo code TANK4SUP, you will get free delivery on game days. And so that is TANK4SUP, the number four. Not spell it out, but TANK4SUP. So go check out our friends at the Tank Brewing. They've been great to us. So take it away, Jordan.
All right. Also, we want you guys to check out our guy, Stickers by AB. That's at STICKERZ by AB. You know, I've been ordering a bunch of stuff from him. You know, we have a collaboration sticker that has our logo on it. So make sure you're checking him out. Give him a follow on Twitter. He's just a good dude, and he's helping us design our merch. So yeah, man, it's make sure you're supporting the good people that help us out here on Fours Up.
You're listening to the Fours Up podcast with your host Marsh.
What up, what up, what up, Kings fans? It is the Fours Up podcast presented by the Tank Brewery. It is Sunday, October 25th, and the Canes are 5-1. They won yesterday.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people are happy. And so, as always, I am joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, we're 5-1. Does it feel like we're 5-1?
It feels like 2017 is what it feels like. To me,
it kind of does, man. It yeah,
or
last
or 2013.
Night
13, yeah, same thing.
Yeah, last night Canes win 19-14 over a Virginia team that I thought, you know, it was going to be a blowout. I thought this is when the offense was really going to just light it up again, and that was not the case. I think there's a lot of good things that came out of the win. I think Derek King played a lot better than people think. I think he missed some throws, but he threw for 322 yards and a touchdown. Mike Harley, 10 catches, 170 yards, and a touchdown. That came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was really nice to see. I mean, we can talk about this with Petrie, who's coming on later, our guest. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Mike Harley having a big game. Really, it was our first game from a wide receiver that was good, and Harley played a great game. But then he had that bizarre press conference after the game, talking about the wide receivers not putting in extra work, which is just like, dude, I haven't facepalmed that hard in a long time, you know.
It's dude, like, that's like with everything going on, like you think that the program is on the turnaround and everything, and then to hear a senior wide receiver say that, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, what the hell?
Especially when it's been our worst performing position group, you know? I mean, it's one thing if, like, the running backs are like, hey, you know, we lost our focus, we stopped putting in the extra work. It's like, okay, but that's one of our stronger position groups, you know? So it's like, I can cut them some slack. But when the wide receivers have been really, really bad all season, like, that's just kind of tough. However, you know, on the bright side of that, and we can talk more about it, but on the bright side, you know, I gave my offensive game ball to Mike Harley. It was incredible. I mean, we've been asking for that kind of thing all season, and so I don't want to, like, poo-hoo Mike Harley the week that he gives everybody what they want. So credit to him, and Mark Pope had a pretty solid game too. Had a few drops, but I mean,
that catch he had on the sideline was pretty nice.
Oh, it was gorgeous. And he had a one-handed deflection that he grabbed that was nice too. So you know, credit to Pope and Harley. I'd love to see more from Wiggins, but I don't know. I was pretty excited about the emergence of Don Chaney. I mean,
yeah,
his box score wasn't like the most beautiful thing ever, but it, I mean, is it just me or did he look like a starting running back yesterday?
Well, there's that one drive. I think it was in the third or the fourth quarter. It ended in a field goal, but I mean, he did it all. Or it might have been the drive where he finished off with the touchdown, but yeah, he looked really, really good yesterday. It was good to see him back there. He was running the ball with purpose and getting, you know, 6-7 yards. It felt like at a clip. And so, yeah.
I mean, how lucky are we to be moving forward with Jalen Knighton and Don Chaney? Cause I mean, we were both hyping up Jalen Knighton, who has lived up to the hype. I mean, maybe I thought he'd be a little more productive, but I think that's because we assumed that Don Chaney wouldn't be getting as many carries, right? I think we kind of assumed that Cam was solidified in the starting role and that Jalen would be getting all of the change of tempo carries. But I mean, from a talent standpoint, he is delivering the goods, in my opinion. And I think Chaney is right. I mean, honestly, would it shock me if they said Don Chaney's starting next week and Cam is benched? I wouldn't be shocked.
I mean, if you think of what Cam has not done the last three games,
yeah,
why not?
Yeah, and I love Cam. I'm not trying to knock Cam. I know you're not either. But I'm just saying, like, just looking from an effectiveness standpoint, it's really not stupid to think that that's a possibility. Like, it won't be the most shocking thing that's happened this year. And I still love Cam going forward. I think he's a good leader and a great back overall. But
we need yards.
We do.
You know what? At this point right now, I know that some players are good leaders. Yeah. Like Zach McLeod's a good leader, but damn, dude, like at some point, you have to put the good player in. Is that too harsh?
No, it's not harsh because you're right. You know, I mean, leadership is a skill. Some people are born leaders, but I still think it's a muscle or a skill that you develop, right? Some people are just born with it a little more developed. So why not give younger guys the opportunity to develop into a leader? You know, like Corey Flagg is very vocal, you know, so why not throw him out there? Because, you know, he looks more talented than some of our other linebackers. And he was one of the leaders of our recruiting class. Mm-hmm. So why not throw him into a starting role and just be like, okay, the team, like the linebacking core, the middle of the defense is yours, Corey. So like flex your leadership muscle and make some plays for us.
Yeah. I know he was one of the players. I think we had 9 players yesterday out
because
they were either injured or being quarantined, and he was one of them. So that made a difference. Obviously, not having Brevin Jordan out there again hurt.
Yeah.
But man, like it we had 466 total yards of offense, and we only got 19 points out of it.
Yeah, it was frustrating.
It was the most frustrating game of the season so far, for sure.
Yeah,
the episode where Marsh turns negative and Jordan is the positive?
I'm not going to turn for the positive, but I'm going to say that I think everyone has caught up with me now, though, because yesterday was not. I wasn't feeling that negative yesterday, and it's because this is what I thought out of the team. I mean, I predicted 27-13, which is much more modest than what a lot of people were thinking. And obviously we performed worse than that. But I mean, I've kind of gotten the 2017 vibes right off the UAB game. You know, I've kind of been saying like, hey guys, look, it's all well and good that we're getting wins, but we're going to really struggle against good teams because we're not playing good football right now. We're playing mediocre football. And that's kind of been the trend, is that we've gotten better in a lot of ways. We've had some good games. It was nice to see the wide receivers position get better yesterday. The defensive tackles have gotten better over the season. Linebacker play should get better. So there's a lot of things to be positive about, but overall, I mean, this is kind of how I felt from week one, is just like, I really, really hope that we show up for UNC, because you know, we might just be an 8-3 team. And no matter which way we cut it, it just might happen, you know?
Well, and I tried telling people, like, this is why I predicted 8-3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because I know that the some of the, I mean, it's hard to shake. So like, we've obviously seen a lot of improvements, but you're not going to see, like, this team, like, blow out everyone every week that we're supposed to. That's not going to happen because that's just the kind of football that we've played over the past 15 years. And sometimes, some weeks, we're going to go back to maybe some of those negative mindsets and it, like in the locker room. And I don't know. I was just, I was watching the game and people were getting mad at me because I was like trying to stay like positive. And then I'm like, well, you guys are the ones that called me negative earlier in the year because I said 8-3, and now you're like mad at me because I'm so positive. I don't know what you guys want from me.
Well, I mean, from my experience, because we are in a position of, I mean, we probably qualify as talking heads at this point. I think people just like to tell us how stupid we are.
Yeah, we can never be right. We're either right. Stupid or stupid.
Yeah, no matter what I post, there's always one comment of just like somebody pops in, well, you're actually an idiot. So,
yeah. Like,
okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. God bless you.
Yeah, right.
So, okay, glad we're rooting for the same team.
Yeah, right. Okay, so I'm going to call in our guest. We got Petrie from Twitter. You guys probably know him. He's loud and lovable, good guy. But first, I want to remind you about Stickers by AB. Make sure you are, you know, helping them out, supporting them. AB is our dude. And the discount code to get 15% off is 4SUP. That's the number 4 and the letters SUP. And I actually got a sneak preview at one of their new designs yesterday, and it was incredible. So make sure you guys are following that Twitter account. Because I know that as soon as that design drops for sale, that I'm going to be purchasing a number of them. I'm actually going to put one on my laptop, so it's going to be sick. Anyways, you ready for me to call in Petrie?
Let's do it.
Hello.
What's up, man?
Hey, how are you?
Not too bad, Petrie. Welcome on, man.
Yo, what's up, Petrie?
Hey, Marsh, good to hear from you, man. How are you?
You know, I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing okay. I think this is like the worst I've felt after a win this year. How are you feeling?
I'm probably in the same boat on that one. I think pretty much exactly the same. Worst feeling after a win.
Okay, yeah. So I want to – Jordan and I just gave our initial reactions. I'm annoyed today. I think that with the way that we played in the first 3 weeks, we should have easily been able to come out and beat Virginia – by 20, 30 points, and I just didn't see enough of what I wanted to see. I didn't see enough offense, and I feel like the defense let up at some times. What's your initial reaction to yesterday's game?
Well, I think that you actually made a really good point. It's very fair to say we expected more. You know, this is the Miami Hurricanes have scored, what, about almost 35 points a game. Well, except for the Clemson game, of course, but almost 35 points a game heading into that. And then you come in and turn in, you know, 2 touchdowns, the first one on like some Madden rookie mode garbage, and the second one on Don Chaney getting kind of low-key stuffed at the line and needing Jakai Clark to pull him over into the end zone. You know, you're looking at those 2 touchdowns like, come on, we could have done something a little bit better schematically, at least. I would have liked to see more.
Yeah, I feel like – and Jordan, you and I were talking about Don Chaney right before Petrie came on, but I feel like we just went to him almost too much when we got inside the 15 or 10 yard line. Like, I feel like we should have scored that drive. Jordan, I don't know. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. I think we're still feeling out the offense. You know, after the 52 point explosion, I think admittedly, I was the guiltiest party, right? I was calling for a $2 million raise for Rhett Lashley. We were very quick to crown Rhett Lashley as like the single missing piece to a championship contender. Clearly, he's not quite there yet. The offense isn't quite there yet. And I actually don't think, even if he was, I think we have other things to figure out as well. You know, the defense is still giving up big drives. I mean, we touched on this when we had Parker, is that, like, we were prone to chunk plays, but when that's not happening, like, we can't get anything going. And I think we saw that against Virginia still. So, I don't know, man. It's just frustrating. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, especially with the way that we opened the game. I mean, two play drive, one to Will Mallory and then to Harley, touchdown, boom, just like that. Like, where did that go?
I don't know. Because, I mean, they were missing their two starting safeties. So you would think that we'd just keep going over the top all game. But I don't know. We threw one to D. Wiggins, and he did his normal thing where he falls down rather than fighting for a ball. And I couldn't help but be furious at that.
Okay, hold on. I have to bring up something. Petra, I'll ask you first and then Jordan. Were you surprised when they said, we're going to review number 5 for targeting?
Jesus, I dude, you could ask somebody who doesn't watch the Miami Hurricanes, and they would be like, no, I wasn't surprised at all. Come on, they would say that, like, this guy hell, again. Man? Somebody posted it was like a picture on, like, Ed Reed kind of looking judgmentally at Amari, and the caption was like, come on, dude, again, let's go. Yeah. Come on, why are you doing this again, dude?
You know, can I rant for a second?
Yeah, sure.
So let's think about the veteran leadership on this team, okay? And I want to do this with love, because I support all of these dudes. I want all these dudes to do well. But I think it's time that we start calling them out a little bit, because Amari Carter's a captain, okay? Like, Mike Harley. Like, he's one of our most experienced offensive players, right? I can't remember if he's a captain or not, but it wouldn't surprise me. And then Zach McLeod and Cam Harris, like, these are the veteran leaders of the team. And what state are they in right now? I mean, Mike Harley just admitted that he's not forcing the wide receivers to work harder after practice, right? Amari Carter is getting ejected every single game. Zach McLeod's going to lose his starting spot. And who knows what's going on with Cam. Like, is this really what our team is right now? You know, like, we're being carried on the backs of true freshmen and transfers, man. It pisses me off right now.
Well, and it's tremendously difficult. I have no doubt that guys like Cam Harris and Amari Carter are workout warriors in the locker room. I have no doubt that they're running fantastic drills and looking, you know, the best in practice. But hey, you know, you got ejected 5 minutes into the game, dude. Come on, you know.
Yeah, and then you've got Cam Harris hopping on. Every game this year.
Well, and that's true too. And then, you know, the thing, I don't want to read too far into this. Maybe Cam Harris was kind of trying to pump himself up and motivate himself, but you know, getting on Twitter after the game and saying, like, oh, they're doubting me or whatever the case may be. I was like, well, dude, you know, I know you only got 8 carries, but with those 8 carries, you only had 8 yards, one yard per carry. Like, you know, what are you really expecting here?
And it's 3 bad games in a row for Cam. You know, I love Cam. Like I said, he's one of my favorite players on the team. I support him. But, I mean, those 4 dudes are, I mean, if you think, those 4 dudes are in really important leadership roles. And they're all just kind of laying down right now. You know, it sucks. It sucks to see it.
Yeah, and if I hear
this, like, the 3rd game this year that Amari's been ejected from?
Yeah.
Was that the 3rd one? Because I know he got ejected out of Louisville game.
I thought he got ejected from UAB as well.
I was going to say, I know he's been ejected from bare minimum too, but it feels like, and, you know, not even so much as the ejection itself, but the review for targeting, it's every single game. Whether you get ejected or not, you know, it seems like it depends on the referees that you have calling the game. But at the same time, like, you're getting reviewed for it every game, dude. Come on now.
Dude, that's why I, like, a lot of people were getting mad at the refs and everything. And I'm like, okay, after a while, it's not the ref's fault. Like, Amari knows that the rule is in place. Like, you have to learn at some point.
Oh, yeah. There's a very important rule that my parents taught me, and it's, if it's everybody else, it's actually you. You know, so if it's every ACC ref that we're blaming this on, maybe at some point it's actually on Amari.
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
I tweeted out, like, I'm not mad at the refs, I'm mad at Amari. And I had some people like, oh, what are you talking about? Like, this is football. I'm like, well, what? That doesn't help us at all. Yeah.
I understand.
An actual tackle.
It's football. Yeah. It's not UFC. All right. It's football. It's not UFC. Yeah.
And you know, even if we disagree with the targeting rule and think it's stupid, like, it doesn't matter, dude. Like, Amari's a defensive captain and he needs to stay in the game. That's when it really comes down to brass tacks. That's all that's important, is that if Amari's going to be a decent player and he's going to be a defensive captain, he needs to be on the field. And that's really it. You know, who cares if targeting is a stupid rule or not? Like, stay on the field because we need you.
Well, and I know a lot of people like talk crap on Amari's pass coverage inabilities and things like that, but I think you make a great point, Jordan. Like, he brings a lot more positive being on the field than he does, you know, having to go into the locker room with 59 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game. Yeah. You can't. It's just frustrating that this is a recurring theme. Like, yep. I've never seen something like this where it's almost expected at this point.
Expected almost to the point of, like, our opposing coaches. Oh, did they just do it just now? Oh, it was 8:15, wasn't it?
Or 8:15. Yeah, they look pretty sick. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm gonna pull those up. I haven't seen them yet. Sorry, what were you saying, Petrie?
Pretty cool.
Oh, no, I was saying, like, as far as Amari Carter goes, you know how a lot of times coaches aren't always talking about just strategy in terms of football. Sometimes they coach these players like, hey, you know Amari Carter's a headhunter, so, hey, you know, maybe when you're coming across the middle, you kind of try to lean forward with your helmet a little bit, and that guy's going to put himself in a bad position, and then we're in a better spot. Automatic first down, and then you're going to bounce right back up, and we're good to go. He's out of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are opposing coaches coaching their players to look for the fact that Amari likes to lead with his head?
Yeah. No, I mean, why not, right? It's taking out the defensive captain on the very first play of the game. So,
yep.
I mean, of course. Yeah, so I'm looking at these Miami Knights things right now. Marsh is having some Wi-Fi issues, so we'll see how that works out.
I'm seeing them. They're okay.
I like them. You know,
they're kind of spooky, like with the orange numbers, like color numbers.
Yeah, well, and it looks like it has a gradient to green on the sleeve, which is cool. Kind of like almost like a vaporwave look, but with some with the Miami colors. I was hoping that they'd tweaked the helmet a little bit. I thought that was the most bland part of the uni combos, but whatever.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. When do you think we're going to wear them? Virginia or UNC game, probably?
Yeah.
So the next two home games, or the last two home games, I should say, rather, are Georgia Tech and North Carolina. And Georgia Tech, I mean, I can't imagine that one being a night game. And then Carolina will probably be a night game.
Yeah.
I'm saying, hey, it's in Miami. It's a night. Miami Knights. Let's make it happen. But it'll probably be Carolina.
Yeah.
And that game could mean something, you know, last game of the season, you know, maybe Carolina bounces back and ends up looking good. Hopefully we're rolling, and it might be a big game, ACC implications on the line at that point.
Oh, yeah. it'll definitely be a big game. I mean, I just want to know what this Miami team will be like on that day. Like, are we going to go in with still just one loss? Or are we going to go in limping, having lost a few more games? I just don't know, man. And the next, I know we have a bye week this week, which I swear we just had one of those. But that NC State game is really scaring me right now.
Yeah, it depends if they have their starting quarterback, you know, if he's returned from injury or not. But I agree with you, man. They're a good team. That's certainly a place that we can slip up. I think North Carolina, you know, a lot of our fan base wrote them off last week because they lost to Florida State. But I mean, I don't know, man. I'm still just as much worried about them as not. I think that was a case of they got ranked in the top five. You know, mentally they weren't ready for that, and they just, I don't know, they just pooped their pants on national TV, lost to Florida State. But I agree with you guys. That's going to be a very meaningful game, whether or not it decides who takes the second place in the ACC is to be determined. But I think it will be very important, and I'm not writing that as a win already.
Yeah, I don't know, Petru. What games are concerning to you? Let me ask you this. What was your prediction for the season before the year started?
Actually, to be honest with you, I had us with three losses. The only ones that I really had were Clemson, which obviously, hello. I've got Virginia Tech. That one's a loss. I think that one could be a loss. And then, you know, Carolina's kind of a toss up on that one. So I actually had two, maybe three losses. And I think that would be, what do we want to say, reasonable expectations. I don't think that's really particularly overachieving, you know.
Yeah.
No, I said the same thing. I said three losses to Clemson, and then I think I said Virginia Tech, and then maybe Wake Forest or something like that. But
yeah,
I don't know, man. With this team, we're 6 weeks in, and I still don't know what kind of team we have. Yeah, like, I don't know how we can play the way that we played in the first three games, then lose to Clemson and, you know, look pretty lethargic the last two games. It's like we flipped a 180. It's like the 2018 season is repeating itself.
Yesterday was shocking. I found myself asking, what year is it? Like, the game ended up, it was 1914. I was like, seriously, is this a game where we're gonna have like two touchdowns and three field goals apiece or something like that? What year is it? 1965 or something? Come on, man.
I know. It was just what I was not expecting. I wanted to ask you, because I know a lot of fans are sounding off today about Rhett Lashley, and then obviously a lot of people are talking about Blake Baker, you know, whether or not he should still be the defensive coordinator. What are your thoughts on both of those guys? And, you know, just talk about that.
I like Rhett Lashley. I like what he does in terms of schematics and in terms of the offense. I saw a lot of times, a few plays last night, probably five or six, where there's, you know, a wide receiver set on the outside, and it's designed to draw the defensive presence to one side of the field. You run to the opposite side. And that's what I like. You know, it sets up a running back play for 5 to 7 yards, and that's what we like to see. It's just not something that we have seen in any, really, of the recent years. So as far as Lashley goes, we're good money on that. I think he might have had just an off day. And then once the rain opened up last night, you know, at that point, you're kind of like, all right, I guess we're going to have to run the ball. Cause then, you know, once the rain came out, not going to be a passing game at that point. As far as Blake Baker goes, ship him into the sun. I'm done with this guy. I've been done with this guy since last year.
Ship him into the sun.
Yeah. I'm done with this guy. He's so bad. I'm tired of Blake Baker. I've said it before and I will say it again. This whole bend don't break bullshit, I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear it. All of our defensive successes that we've had this season are predicated entirely on talent. They are predicated entirely on talent. I don't believe that there is one thing that he does as a defensive coordinator that is making us good. I think it's 100% a talent thing, why we're doing this whole quote unquote bend don't break thing.
Yeah. I think that might have been one of the best takes we've had on this show.
Yeah.
Honestly. Jordan, I know that you have thoughts about Blake Baker. You go next.
Okay, so I've been up and down on both this season. You know, I lost confidence in Blake, you know, midway through last season, like most people. By the end of the year, you know, I actually thought that people were maybe a little too harsh on him. And this season, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying, Petri. However, at the same time, I do think he gets, like, he's targeted a little too much for what's going on. Like, I think people are watching these games, and I'm not saying that you're doing this, but I think some people, they think, like, man, if Blake Baker was just gone, this game would be a blowout. And it's like, well, the offense is really struggling as well. You know, we have some talent deficiencies that, like, not all of our problems are Blake's fault, which is the only time that I get a little contrarian about the overall sense regarding Blake. However, I'm not confident in him still. You know, like, I'm not going to fight for him to stick around. However, I do think he's a very convenient scapegoat, and I think people are choosing not to do their due diligence when it comes to analyzing this team and just blaming too much on Blake.
I agree with both of those points. I think he doesn't really have an impact as a defensive coordinator. Like, I don't think his schemes are making, you know, us hold our opponents to less than 20 points. I think it's kind of like Petrie said. I think it's just, you know, the talent.
Yes.
This defense could be playing a lot better. That UVA's last touchdown, like, where was Al Blades? What was that?
Yeah. And that's kind of the thing too, is like, how do we assess things like that? Like, maybe someone who is smarter about football would know better than me. But to me, like, that's idiotic. But how can I necessarily blame that on Blake? Because Al Blades was like, he knew that there was a dude there. And maybe I'm wrong. And if I am wrong, someone please explain it to me. Like, I have no problem being taught things. You know, but Blades can see the dude there, and he just doesn't cover him. You know, I don't know how else to explain it. Like, you know, the dude was right there, and Blades just let him run by him. So I don't know how Blake could fix that.
I think I might need to rewatch that Blades play again, because, I mean, the guy was so embarrassingly wide open that the guy might as well have been butt naked as far as anybody's concerned. And so you sit there and you have to wonder, is it a thing where, you know, Jordan, like you said, Blades just straight up had a miscue. Hey, where am I at? I don't even know where I am right now. Or is it a thing where he was expecting a safety over the top to kind of cover his ass, and he was playing, you know, a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage, expecting someone to be behind him. And then all of a sudden it's a miscue, and we're looking at a touchdown where the wide receiver was so open. Hell, I could have made that catch. Hello.
Yep. And that's a great point. So I'll have to watch it too. But at least from what I remember, you know, he could have thought that he was going to have safety help. But from what I remember, he was lined up between the outside guy and the slot dude. And we had a corner or somebody who was lined up over the slot receiver. And it looked like Blades was supposed to be aligned over the outside wide receiver, and he wasn't. And he knew he was there. And then, like, the play started, and, you know, like, he almost dropped back into coverage. And then I don't know if he had, like, a flat zone or something, but it was just – I'm face palming right now. I'm rubbing my forehead because I just don't know.
Okay, so the next thing I wanted to ask you guys about, it was a few things. Did you guys see the slip and slide that Manny was doing?
I saw pictures today.
Did you see Petrie?
Yeah, I did see the slip and slide. Okay. I have mixed emotions on that one.
Yeah. I want to talk about that real quick. What? Tell me your mixed emotions.
So as far as that goes. Listen, hey, you just got a win. I know they're all conference wins right now because of the schedule we're playing, but hey, Virginia was ranked last year. We did beat them last year when they were ranked. They're a team that always plays us tough. You get a win over Virginia, you really like that. You're happy to do it. Yeah. I understand. Celebrate a little bit. You ended up in the win column. Great.
Yeah.
But I also understand when other people are like, could you imagine in your wildest dreams – Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney, any of them winning a 5-point victory over a team that you should have smoked by 1,000, and they're on a slip and slide. Could you imagine that have happened? So, like I said, I get it in terms of, like, hey, you're happy, you won a game that you really want to win and you're excited about it, but, like, are you really that excited about it? I don't know.
Yeah. No, you bring up a good point, and so I'm with you in that I have mixed emotions about it. Like, I 100% echo what you said about, you know, the Nick Saban and Urban Meyer thing. But here's – I'm just going to play devil's advocate, and I'm going to, you know, mostly speak out about, like, giving Manny credit or whatever. And that's that – I mean, how often does our fan base say that, like, Miami is a special breed in college football, right? It's different than any other place. The athletes are different than any other place. The culture is different than any other place. And to Manny's credit, I think he's still trying to establish his identity as a football coach. We saw last year he was very heavy on being the party animal, you know, showing up wasted on that yacht, you know, doing the wrestling night, appearing on Instagram Live or whatever, and, you know, pulling goofy faces that become memes or whatever. You know, so, and then this year has kind of been quite a bit different, right? He's been a lot less subdued about being, I don't know what word you want to use for it, like a goofball or swaggy or I don't know. You know, he's a lot more subdued. And so I think he's still just trying to find out what works with these kids. Because he probably knows just as well as we do that, like, Miami is a different coaching job than Virginia. It's a different coaching job than Penn State. It's a different coaching job than Ohio State. You know, it has a very unique culture around the program. And so I didn't love it. But to Manny's credit, I think he's just trying to feel himself out.
Might maybe say it's like a different kind of fun? Like, it's a different kind of fun. Hey, listen,
yeah.
There's the frat boy fun that we all love to have. It's all fun to, hey, toss out beers at a party and turn up the music and have a great time. We all love that kind of fun. But then there's like what a football coach considers to be fun, which is winning football games by a million points.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's trying to find that, you know, like, I don't know. Because I wouldn't necessarily call Saban a player's coach, right? He's a disciplinarian. And Manny's whole shtick had been being like one of the guys, you know? So maybe he's trying to make a transition and just doesn't get it yet.
Yeah, I mean, I know that a lot of people, you know, some people got mad at me because I didn't really like it. I just didn't think it was the right look after a 5-point win against a 1-3 team. I don't know. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but maybe I'm looking at it a little too harshly, but it just didn't seem like if you were to do that after beating FSU by 40 points or whatever, you know what, go ahead. I'm fine with that. But it just seemed like the timing was off. And then one of his post-game quotes, he said that, "I think we played a little bit like we thought it would be easy," when like 3 days ago, I was covering, you know, the post-practice interviews, and Manny Diaz, like, was speaking about the Virginia game like they were – like it was the most important thing to them at that moment and that they weren't going to overlook Virginia or anything. And then when he said that, I'm kind of just pissed me off.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I get why. that's very contradictory. Yeah.
I just had to it makes me mad when, you know, this team – year after year, they continue to play down to their competition. And that's one of the things that I wanted to – I knew that we're not going to win a national championship or anything that this year, but I wanted to see us make a few strides, you know, as a program. And one of them is beating teams that you're supposed to beat and beat them like you're supposed to beat them. Yeah. And so, I don't know. Jordan, you kind of said it at the beginning that it kind of feels like 2017. And as the episode goes on – I'm starting to get those vibes.
Yeah, I just don't think what we're doing is sustainable. You know, it's working right now. We're 5-1. And that's cool. Like, it's fun, you know, whatever. But one of these teams like Virginia Tech or NC State or UNC is going to come in and really just punch us in the mouth and be like, hey, guess what? We're just as good as you are this year, but we're not messing around. You know, like you guys are making schematic mistakes. You're not playing hard. You're not staying after practice. But guess what? We're just as talented as you, and we are doing those things. And so, like, you're finished today. You know, like, you're walking away with a loss. And that's what happened in 2017. You know, we go up to Pittsburgh, and they're like, hey, guess what? We're not afraid of you because we've watched you barely beat the last 8 teams in a row, and we just don't care. You know, one of these teams is going to show up with that attitude. Like, it could be NC State. They can show up and be like, hey, guess what? We don't care. We were ranked 2, and you just lost.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, let Petrie, tell me something from last night's game that you really liked. I know that we've been a little bit negative so far in today's show, but what stood out to you and impressed you about last night's win?
I think that one of the things that jumps out to me, and this seems like completely and totally obvious to me, is the fact that Don Chaney was able to run the ball successfully when they knew that we were going to be running the football. Like, you know, they knew that we weren't throwing the ball. We hadn't had much success. And then with the rain coming on, you know, we're going to be running the football. And then for Chaney to still be able to pick up, you know, a little bit of, you know, 4 yards here, 6 yards there. He ended up getting the touchdown, you know, like I said earlier, with a little help from Ja'Kai Clark. But for him to still be able to, you know, put up some good average yard per carry kind of numbers, that was very encouraging to me. And I think that we're going to be able to expect more from that, more from him and more of that in the future.
Yeah, so I got a follow-up question to that. I think we mentioned it before we added you on. How shocked would you be if they announced Don Chaney as the starter over Cam Harris next week?
0% shocked, not shocked at all.
Okay, that's kind of what I said
too. Hey, listen, Cam has been doing a good job this season leading up to this point. As we mentioned, he's had a little slide the last couple of games. Yeah. I think he'll be ready to come out and, you know, prove a point. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I think that, you know, Manny's a politician. Cam's going to probably end up being the starter on the depth chart. Yeah. But would I be tremendously shocked if it was like Cam Harris or Don Chaney? Would not be surprised at all.
Yeah.
Maybe they should do the same thing with the running backs that they just did with the wide receivers. Like an open competition. I mean, look what it did for Mike Harley.
Yeah. Made him stay after practice.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you should actually, you know, compete in practice for the starting.
I feel bad because, like I said, I don't want to crap all over him because, like, he gave me exactly what I've been asking for, right? We've been saying, man, we need somebody to step up, and he did. And then, I just don't know how to handle it the right way. Like, just, I guess, don't go back to not trying is all I have to say. You know, please, like we can let it slide if you guys play good the rest of the year. But if the whole position group just disappears, then it's like, okay, well, do we even want veterans there? Because clearly they're not teaching anything valuable to the young guys.
Yeah, I think that the thing that surprised me the most about Harley's comments about, like, you know, not saying staying after practice or whatever is like, listen, I'm not asking you to, like, stay late and run cones for your footwork. I'm not asking you to stay late and throw a couple of extra reps in the weight room so you can be bigger. He's saying they weren't even practicing on the jug machine. I'm like, bro, you're a wide receiver. Like, that yeah. seems like wide no receiver practice 101. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not getting a few extra reps on the jug machine. I don't know. It seems fundamentally not something's wrong about that on a fundamental level.
Yeah.
And just on like that's the kind of thing that I was hoping Ed Reed would help with, and just that example, and those players would stay after practice to, you know, get more reps. I can't believe that. Did he say that they're not hitting the jug machine?
Yeah.
I watched like the clip where he said like they weren't staying after practice or anything, but
Hey, props for honesty. If I just put up 170 yeah. yards and a couple touchdowns or whatever it was, he had like 10 catches, I'd be letting my nuts hang in the interview too. I wouldn't care. I'd be saying whatever it was, but I am a little bit surprised that he was like, okay, so let me put it this way. If you go for 170 yards with 10 catches and a touchdown or two, and you say, listen, I didn't really stay late at practice this week, I'm like, okay, that's great. But when you tell me about how Pope had 3 drops and he's not staying late practicing on the jug machine, okay, now we've got a little bit of an issue here.
Yeah, and I think my biggest problem is just the example that he's setting, you know? Like, we're excited about all these young wide receivers, and we got more guys coming in. And what I don't want is a culture of complacency, you know? Like, if those dudes are hanging out together, I don't want practice to be over, and they're like, oh, you know, the young guy's like, oh, are we going to stay after? And he's like, no, we don't. Like, we don't have to, you know, like, that's not what we do here. That's kind of what bothers me is, like, that's the type of stuff that can infect your program and go through generations. you know, because then guys like, you know, the young guys, and I'm not going to single them out because, you know, I don't want anyone to think that, like, there's any particular guys that would be susceptible to that. But I don't want these young guys to go through this season, and when Mike Harley leaves, to think, like, okay, like, the leader of this position group, like, that, you know, he taught me that I don't need to put in extra effort because he was, you know, one of the team leaders and he started. And so clearly it worked. Like, clearly this is an establishment where complacency is rewarded.
Complacency. And it's just a shame because, like, that, like, yesterday was the game that I've been expecting Mike Harley to have. I that's the way that I expected him to play this season. And yeah. I wish it wasn't until the sixth game of the year. Jordan and Petrie, how much of an effect do you think it's had on the offense not having Brevin Jordan out there the last two games?
Jordan, you want to go?
You go ahead.
Tremendous impact, man. I love Brevin Jordan. I mean, it's night and day when he's out there. You want to talk about a guy who puts his nose to the grindstone and gets the job done? Yes, he is our most productive basically wide receiver at the tight end position. He's our most productive receiver, but he's not afraid to put his hand in the dirt and knock over your linebackers too. And that kind of thing, just, it carries over to the rest of the team. It's an energy thing. It's a momentum thing. Not having him out there is tremendous in terms of what he does and, like, the intangibles, but also in terms of, hey, you've got a first round draft pick sitting on the bench. Yeah. There's that impact too, you know?
Yeah.
Strictly talent too.
No, I think you're spot on, man. And it's, you know, Brevin is clearly one of the leaders on the team, and he's the most talented pass catcher we have. I really loved watching Will Mallory yesterday. You know, unfortunately, I think the rain kind of ruined what could have been a fantastic day for him. But yeah, I mean, you just can't. Brevin's not very replaceable. Even as good as Will Mallory is, I think we could have used him. So I don't know. It'll be nice to have him back. I wonder how much he'll play the rest of the season. He's been injury prone. I don't think he's coming back.
Really? So, oh, coming back for next year.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't make sense, right? Like, if you're injury prone and you get a second or third round grade, like, you just have to go to the NFL. At least that's what I would do. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, man. I hope Brevin, you know, I hope he can play the rest of our games, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty shocking to see the offense production with him and then without him the last two games, because it kind of, like Petri was saying, it's night and day, the impact and, you know, that he has on the offense. So that'll be great to see him back. And that NC State game, that's next Friday. Is that a Friday night game?
I don't know.
November the 6th, which is, yeah, you're right. March of Friday. Yeah,
might be. Oh, boy, I don't know. Well, scary. I don't even know if the country will be around on November 6th. We'll see.
Okay, Jordan, what else do we have to go over?
I think that, I mean, I don't really have much else to say, man. It's been really fun having Petrie on, but I don't know. I think we kind of covered everything. I mean, going into a bye week, I guess, are there any storylines that you guys are interested to watch in the next, I guess, 13 or 12 days until we play a game?
I mean, I just want to see the same focus extra focus being placed on this team. Bye weeks always freak me out because I think we're like 0-5 after our last five bye weeks. And so just very interested to see how this team comes out against NC State. I'm moving this week, so it's going to be good to be back in the homeland of Miami and get out of the snow in Utah. So that's the biggest story I'm going to be watching is myself.
It's flannel season, man. I love it. This is what I was.
And now I'm moving where it's tank top season.
Well,
like in suit season all day.
Each their own, right?
Exactly.
Each their own.
Petrie, do you have any closing thoughts?
as far as like the team goes, I mean, I'd really love to see us like step up the rest of the way, you know, down the stretch. A really interesting kind of quote that has recently been brought to my attention. I had never heard it before, but I think it's awesome and it's spot on to describe the way the team has gone so far. And I'd like to see us get an upgrade from it moving forward. It's a quote and it goes, "We're not going to paint a picture. We're just going to write down the number." And that's the way that you can describe our season so far. We're 5-1. I've ripped my hair out every step of the way. But hey, here we are. We're 5-1. We're not going to paint the picture. We're just going to write down the number and say that we're 5-1.
Perfect.
Okay. Yeah.
Deal. Jordan, any last comments?
No. I mean, I'll take it. Right. 5-1 is. I mean, that's what I predicted we'd be at this juncture. But yeah. So I'll take it. We just really need to solidify what's going on behind the scenes, man. It feels like there's something going on that I don't like, and I don't know what it is, but
yeah,
we're better than this.
Absolutely.
That's weird to say. We're better than this 5-1. But
yeah, no, I think that was perfect way to close it out. Okay. We will talk to you guys later in the week. Again, thank you, Petrie, for hopping on the show, and until next time, go Canes.
Hey, go gentlemen, Canes. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Go Canes.
This has been the Forza Podcast.